Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Hell Money Podcast. I am Casey Rodemore, and this is your host, co-host, along with Aaron. So yeah, today we're going to be talking about runes.
We're talking about runes.
Yeah, but first let's talk about our costumes. Aaron, what do you have on today? What's the look today?
I am like a sort of, I mean, Viking loosely, although to be honest, I don't really know Viking mythology that much.
Which I'm really surprised by. Aaron didn't know who Odin is.
I mean, I heard the heard of him.
You've heard the name.
I've heard of him. But like, I only know like my Western astrology kind of like Greek and Roman.
This is a dangerous cultural bias. This is
Greco-centrism
right here.
What are the...
Greco-Roman centralism.
I mean, what are the Vikings? Like, am I really excluding...
The Vikings are sick. The Vikings have an incredible poetic tradition.
Yeah.
They have a rich, crazy mythology. All your favorites. Odin has a horse with eight legs.
Okay.
His name is Sleipnir. Sleipnir literally translates as slippy. Like it's like to slip, and then it's the cute diminutive. So Odin has a horse named Slippy. Like that's worth the price of admission on its own.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's like I have nothing against
also,
it.
Also, what do the Greeks and Romans do aside from, you know, shtupping little boys?
Yeah, I was gonna say, you know what they do.
Yeah.
But I in any case, like we're doing runes inspired looks. So yep. I'm sort of like channeling like a pagan Scandinavian kind of witch sort of situation.
Yep.
Maybe I have a god or some sort of runic tradition that I ascribe to that I'm very committed to. I don't know.
Yep.
But that's what I'm going for.
Yeah, and I'm Viking.
And you're just a Viking.
The costume said that it came with a beard.
Yeah.
But it didn't.
But you have a beard.
I have a beard. Yeah, it said that it came with pants too, which is why we can't show below the table.
You don't want to
see. Because I'm not wearing pants.
You don't want to see what's going on under there.
Freeballing it like a true Viking.
Yeah, I just want everyone to know that I'm blowing the whole Patreon budget on cosplay from here on out.
That's right.
The costumes are going to be out of fucking control.
Lavish. Oh, yeah, you need
to... I have a budget, you know?
Next time, you need to do, like, a look for me. Like, with makeup and, like, good quality shit.
Yeah, I would.
Like, look, Aaron has, like, real feathers. She has this, like, fucking crown. I have, like, the $4, like, bargain bin.
It's what you want.
Viking fucking costume.
I would have done, like, we could have matched. I would have done, like, a black, you know, kind of shadow... wizard situation for you too, but you wanted traditional Viking.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to look stupid. Like, I think there's a charm in the $20 like spirit Halloween costumes.
I think so,
you know?
So yeah, so you know, thanks to all the patrons. I mean, thanks to everyone who signed up or sent us pictures.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
crazy.
It's really
I was not expecting that level of support.
We can pay our editor.
We can pay our editor.
We can buy costumes.
We can
on
buy
the
costumes.
Internet.
We can upgrade our setup.
Yeah.
First upgrades are probably going to be a couple more.
We need tripods.
Two tripods, and we need a replacement
new
second camera.
Camera.
Yeah, that camera right there, which sucks. Is a phone, dies constantly. It's a mess.
It'll probably die this episode.
It'll probably die this episode. That's why if you're watching an episode and like 40 minutes in, the middle shot goes away. It's just
the
two shots
magic.
Above. That's a movie magic. Yeah. Movie magic, AKA our camera breaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And with recording equipment, like if it fails really more than once, it gets the recording equipment death penalty.
Yeah.
Like we had a Zoom before this that was like, it died. We returned it. It died again. And then it was like, no. And we got this model and it's better.
Okay, this is boring. Should we talk about runes?
This is fascinating.
I'm sure there's DJs frothing at the mouth, waiting for runes information.
They're frothing somewhere, Aaron.
Okay, so we're talking about runes. I assume everyone who's listening to this has at least heard of runes.
Yep.
But it's possible that, well, this could be the episode that a year from now everyone watches as, and that's also why we had to have good costumes, but that everyone watches as like a, oh my God, what is this thing? I'm just hearing about it. I need it explained. So yep. I think it's good to start.
This episode is going to be one that they play at my trial for like securities fraud or
absolutely,
something.
Absolutely, and that's why I have to be slaying.
That's right. Yeah, they're going to play it. That's going to be like the courtroom, and you know they're going to be watching the video, and then like camera pans over, and we're wearing the same outfits.
Yeah, the reason why Caroline Ellison deserves prison is because she should have showed up to that trial. slaying.
True. She
severely.
Really missed a.
She
like,
missed a fucking.
She could have gone to Korea for a couple weeks, gotten some of that crazy Korean fucking plastic surgery, gotten dolled up.
She had a lot. Like,
she could be a sex icon.
It wouldn't have been such a crazy, like even just a little bit more zhuzh, I think would have made a lot of difference.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I mean, when you go to 0 to 1, it's an infinite increase in
zhuzh.
0 to 1
is Peter Thiel. We're all just trying to go 0 to 1. So anyway, so let's like.
Runes.
I think
let's
it's important
just the
to
basics.
Just actually, yeah, the basics. What is runes?
Very simple. Runes are a fungible token protocol on Bitcoin. So inscriptions are non-fungible tokens, meaning that every inscription has its own identity and every inscription can be unique. Certainly, you could make inscriptions that are the same content as other ones, but each individual inscription has its own identifier, it has its own content, and they're meant to be used for things like, you know, trading cards or collectibles or digital art style of things where you want to trade those individual pieces. On the other hand, fungible tokens are tokens where each token does not have its own identity. So, you know, with runes if you or with inscriptions, if you have 10 inscriptions, it matters which 10 inscriptions those are. But if you have 10 of a particular rune, you're just like, okay, my rune balance of the foo rune is 10. And you don't care, like, which 10. So this kind of gets to an unfortunate terminology thing, which is the word fungible. Fungible means, like, a thing where one unit of the thing is replaceable with another unit of the thing. So, you know, U.S. dollars are fungible. It's like, yeah, they you know, different $1 notes are different. They have their own serial number, but you don't really care about them. Mm-hmm. And so, in a lot of contexts, you can just, you know, say I have $100. You don't care which $100 you have. Non fungible things are things where you do care. So, for example, diamonds are a great example of things that are non fungible. Each diamond, there are no really identical diamonds. They have their own size. They have their own clarity. They have their own grade. They have their own inclusions or imperfections. So there are no identical diamonds, more or less. So diamonds are non-fungible. If you have a 1-carat diamond, you know, there are 1-carat diamonds that are worth 100 times as much as other 1-carat diamonds because they're greater clarity, fewer imperfections, etc. So diamonds are a good example. So inscriptions are like diamonds, and runes are like dollar bills. So how's that sound?
Yeah, that's pretty solid. I might be getting way too off the rails way too quickly here, but could you do ordinals for runes? Like, could you, in theory, design a rune that you could do ordinal theory on?
Yeah, I already thought of this. Yes, you can do ordinal theory for runes.
Because that
can
makes define that, a that's first like a gray input. Area between the fungibility, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, you can do, yes, you can do, you can define like an input-output ordering for runes. You can number each rune in sequence. And then you can, you can have ordinal numbers for runes.
But then you can't inscribe on a rune.
Well, then you could do that.
Oh.
Yeah, you could then, after creating ordinal theory
the rune,
for rune.
The first rune.
Yeah,
the
then you could create rune inscriptions. And then, so it's all turtles all the way down.
Bro.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
It's really fucked up. Okay.
Can I have some of your iced tea?
Yeah.
I'm running low.
Yeah.
This is not piss. I just want everybody to know.
Okay, so that's the basic idea. Can you compare it to, I mean, BRC20 is an obvious comparison, but are there other token standards or whatever that you could compare it to?
Yeah, the ERC20 token standard, which is a standard on Ethereum for doing fungible tokens. And really every shitcoin project out in the ecosystem, every like shitcoin L1 has its own, you know, token. And Bitcoin also. Bitcoin is a fungible token. And, you know, the fungible tokens, I think, are really at the heart of why cryptocurrency is as popular as it is.
Of course.
Fungible tokens, they provide speculation,
mm-hmm.
Sort of wondering about long-term trends. It's sort of really a form of gambling. And they provide entertainment, like each token is its own sort of like carnival of like characters.
Decentralized Ponzi.
Yeah, decentralized Ponzi. Yeah. And I think I should say, I think Bitcoin is included in this. Like Bitcoin provides speculation, gambling, and entertainment. Now, I think the big difference is that the fundamentals of Bitcoin are very different from the fundamentals of other cryptocurrencies.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there is absolutely a speculative component of Bitcoin. I think if everybody knew that the price of Bitcoin was never going to go up again, like just never, it might actually still be interesting as like a global settlement layer. And in fact, that would immediately turn the price. It would immediately turn Bitcoin into an amazing stablecoin.
I was going to say it actually, if you knew the price of Bitcoin, like relative to the US dollar, let's say, was never going to change,
mm-hmm.
it actually would. Yeah, it would be a stable coin. Essentially, it would just be a better way of transacting in U.S. dollars.
Yeah, I mean, of course, then it would be if you know magically they were somehow pegged, it would be subject.
Sure, yeah,
to,
yeah.
But if you assume that the real purchasing power of Bitcoin would never go down and never go up, then it'd be an amazing stable coin. But if you knew that it was never going to go up, but it might go down, a lot of people just simply wouldn't be interested in it.
Right.
A lot of people would be, and so shitcoins or altcoins, as people say more kindly. You know, unlike Bitcoin, they're centralized, they have shitty technology, they have stupid developers, they have no chance of really being anything except these sort of gambling and speculation tokens.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're incredibly popular. Ethereum is incredibly popular because it's a whole host of ERC-20s and ICOs. Before Ethereum, there was sort of the old school altcoin period where people would mostly just fork Bitcoin and like fiddle a few knobs. And release it as like Bitcoin oil or
weed coin.
Yeah, Potcoin.
Potcoin.
Yeah, I know the creator of Potcoin.
Good for him.
Yep, good for him. Yeah. a woman can never come up.
A woman could never.
No. So yeah, and like really, they're insanely popular, and they're never going away. And BRC20s are a good example of a fungible token that is incredibly popular. Oh, and to be clear, like BRC20, like ERC20, runes are a protocol for making fungible tokens.
They're not a token in and of themselves.
It's not a token in and of itself. There's no like privileged like fee-paying token or token that you need to use to create a rune. That is Bitcoin. When you want to make runes, you make Bitcoin transactions, you pay Bitcoin fees for those transactions. So I'm not creating a shitcoin. I'm creating a venue for people to create shitcoins, which is possibly worse and more dangerous.
Yeah, we'll see.
So I think one of the reasons that BRC20 was so popular is that if tokens are really about gambling and speculation, which is, I think, the truth, the underlying technology is not important. You know, you have these teams that are building like insane, you know, shit on Ethereum, these insane L2s, these insane new L1s that have all this crazy technology, that have tons of devs working on them. And I actually think that those things are, strictly speaking, a negative. If the point is to gamble on the token, you don't want the team spending money on devs like whiling away in basements. You want to pay influencers to shill your bags. And so like the more devs you're paying, the more complicated software that people need to run, like the worse your token is at its raison d'etre, right?
Well, I think like meme coins really, that's why meme coins have become so popular over the yep. next few years, is because I think that, you know, there was maybe always the implicit understanding that that's what they were, but yep. it was not explicit.
Yeah, and I think meme coins are...
They are explicitly for gambling.
And they're more fun. It's like, do you want to go to like a fucking parking lot where some guy is like has a folding card table playing like three card Monty where you can get ripped off? Or do you want to go to fucking Las Vegas and have a showgirl suck your dick while you get ripped off?
No.
The latter is clearly what you want. I mean, maybe not you, Aaron, but, you know, you, like, everybody writ large, right? So,
right, the meme coin.
Meme coins have they have entertainment built into them. They're funny. They're cute. I mean, I remember when Dogecoin came out, somebody made this insane video of, like, Doges mining in the GPU mines and, like, riding a rocket ship. And that was, like, a perfect advertisement for it. And, like, you know, privacy bros talking about their, like, privacy coin, or, like, Ethereum maxis talking about how, like, they're, like, weird galaxy brain schemes that are never going to work. That's not as compelling.
Well, I think it's less offensive to me, the people that are just sort of brazenly and openly gambling and shitcoining, because it's... it's not really harmful. I think, I mean, whatever. It's not necessarily positive or mm-hmm. super negative. Like, it just is what it is. I am much more skeptical of the, like, genuine attempts at making cryptocurrencies.
Absolutely.
Because I can never tell with those people if they're stupid or if they're sociopaths, you know? Like,
regardless of the intention of the people behind them, I think those things are much more dangerous. Things that are like, oh, this is the future of finance. We're going to bank Africa. Because that's a pitch that normal people are much more likely to get confused about and like lose their shirt. Like when you're investing in an Ethereum L2, you're not investing in like a stock that at least has like a business and like an office and like income. You're really investing in worthless garbage, but it's convincing people that it's not worthless garbage.
Yeah, exactly. That's it's very hard to tell if it's naivete or like stupidity or, you know, nefarious.
Yep.
Just absolute like scammy behavior. But in any case, it's a waste of those people's time and it's a waste of everyone who invests in it. Except for when it pumps and those people sell and they make money, which is just the gambling aspect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and I don't know, actually, like, just to talk about the gambling stuff too, it's like, it just seems like that's what a lot of it is. And I think it's better to just kind of say that from the get-go.
Absolutely.
I mean, I would like to talk about comparing to BRC20s, but that's like a big issue that I have with BRC20s is that it's very clearly not something that anything can be built on in a serious way.
Yep.
And I don't understand. I think maybe people have this idea that because it's built on Bitcoin, then that's like good, or that it somehow absorbs Bitcoins or ordinals or whatever solid anything. And it's like, no, I think it's better to just admit that what it is fun.
Yep.
You know?
Absolutely.
And runes are fun.
Yep. So let's say something nice about BRC20, which is that BRC20 pioneered a mint mechanic, which I think is fundamental to its success.
For sure.
So when somebody creates a BRC20 token, they don't allocate any of the token to themselves. They just create a token with a name. They don't get any. And then future transactions can mint some amount of that token with a per transaction limit. And that is what allocates the initial supply. So that has two important sort of functions. One is that there is no pre-allocation to some team, right? If the real purpose of these coins is gambling and speculation, the team is just overhead. The team is just people that you, the meme bag holder, are paying like rent to in order to like get your bag, right? You're paying 20% or whatever to this team that's pre-mining it. So that's like pure overhead. So BRC20 eliminates it. And the second is that it makes it really easy to create a big group of bag holders, right? Like everybody, you don't need to be the team. There isn't some team that needs to give out their allocation of tokens, which even if they gave out 100% of their allocation of tokens, that's going to be less efficient than people just randomly claiming it. And anybody can claim some amount of those tokens. So I think that's why BRC20 has had such insane success. And I want to like copy those good elements where I can and avoid the bad elements, which mostly come down to the BRC20 technicals.
I like the idea a lot of the like open mint, free mint mechanic, whatever it's called. I think it's really nice to have that. And I think this is true for inscription, like big inscription collections as well, I notice. You know, I think the idea of just having it be an open mint and the person who creates it or whatever just can mint like everyone else, I think it makes sense that that's the model that people are starting to prefer.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. So runes is really a response to all of those things. And it's trying to bring that like speculation, gambling and entertainment back to Bitcoin. And I think that like when people realize, I mean, I think I should just hammer this more that like, the moment that you realize that this is a gambling and entertainment industry, everything makes sense and everybody can approach it in a more honest way.
Does this make sense?
Yeah, costumes? Absolutely. Yeah. So
everything
makes sense. Yeah. Perfect enlightenment. Just shuffle off that wheel of samsara. So yeah, and everybody can just start being honest. People don't need to lie about what they're doing. People don't need to be like, oh, I'm participating in the future of finance. Mm-hmm. They're like, no, I'm getting my bag, bro, lol.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was what, like, whenever there was all the BRC20 fork drama a month or two ago, I was listening to the Ordinal show where they were talking about it, and I was expecting degens to be in shambles. Mm-hmm. You know, I was expecting people to be losing their goddamn mind.
Yep.
But pretty much all of the degens that were on that space were like, yeah, you know, this was going to happen eventually. And if it's going to collapse, it's going to collapse. Like, maybe we just need to move on to the next thing. Cut our losses. Like, it's just, there's not as much attachment to creating, to this like fake narrative, I think, that people create around stuff that they, it's difficult for people to be honest about their own motives, you know, and it's better to feel like, no, this needs to go on because blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, actually it's just fun and gambling, and it's fine if it's not fun anymore, if it doesn't work anymore, you know, you move on to the next thing. And I think like, I was like pleasantly surprised to hear those responses.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, if runes are successful, just like BRC20, I think that they drain liquidity, technology, and attention away from all other cryptocurrencies and bring it back to Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And these other cryptocurrencies, like, that's their core. That's why they exist, is because there's a token that can be pumped. And if nobody's interested in those tokens, then, like, there's just no point of those cryptocurrencies.
Right. I mean, if you think about why Ethereum is number two or so popular or whatever, it's because so many of these cryptocurrencies are built on Ethereum.
Yep.
Same with Solana, right? And yeah, I mean, it seems that, I mean, I think like benefit is, you can explain that in different words, and maybe in some versions of benefit, Bitcoin doesn't benefit from having a bunch of shitcoiners driving up fees in pump and dump schemes.
Yeah.
But I think overall, it's better to have that on Bitcoin than somewhere else.
Yep.
But
yep.
I think reasonable people can disagree on that. I don't really feel like super strongly one way or the other. I think, you know, Ordinals is something that I pretty much like stand by. And I'm like, yeah, this is like legit. This is cool. This is great. Runes, I'm a little bit more, yeah, this might be like some dark magic.
Yeah, it really is dark magic.
But, you know, you got to see it through.
You got to open Pandora's box. See what
sometimes,
comes out.
Sometimes you know? You do, you know.
Moving on to what are runes?
What are runes?
Aaron, what are runes?
Dude, I don't even know.
How do runes work?
I have no idea. Like, literally, I have no idea. I haven't looked at the code once.
Yeah.
I haven't tried to understand it. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. Like, I know it's UTXO based.
Sure, yeah. That's
but
right.
That's all I know.
Yep.
I haven't tried to delve into this yet. So I would love if you would just give me a full zero background beginner's explanation.
Perfect. Okay, so runes are UTXO based. And so Bitcoin
is... What does that mean?
Yeah, Bitcoin is UTXO based. So UTXOs are unspent transaction outputs. Each Bitcoin transaction has some inputs and some outputs. Each input has a different amount of Bitcoin, and each output has a different amount of Bitcoin. And a transaction is allowed to take some inputs, some current inputs that exist, and destroy them, and create new outputs that exist where the sum of those outputs that are created is greater than or less than the sum of the outputs that are destroyed. So this is why you can't inflate on Bitcoin. You have an input worth one Bitcoin, you can create one output worth one Bitcoin. Can't create an output worth two Bitcoin. So can't make Bitcoin out of nothing. So this is kind of contrasted with the account model, where everybody has an account and you're like debiting and crediting that account, which is the way that a lot of things work. It's the way Ethereum works. It's the way that BRC20 works.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that was the way Ethereum works.
Yeah, yeah. Ethereum has an account model. It doesn't have UTXOs.
I guess that makes sense. Yep. Yeah.
And it also, it's a mess. Like, the account model sucks. If you're going to have Ethereum-style smart contracts, like, yeah, you kind of need it maybe. But it's a shitty model.
What other cryptocurrencies are UTXO based?
All Bitcoin forks. So like Litecoin, Dogecoin is UTXO based.
Okay.
I think maybe Cardano is UTXO based. It's not any good, but yeah, it's UTXO based. So in Bitcoin, these UTXOs, they can only have some amount of Bitcoin. That's kind of their only identity. In addition to their script, which is how they can be unlocked for spending, usually by providing a signature with some private key. So With runes, which again are an opt-in lens to viewing the Bitcoin blockchain, much like inscriptions, UTXOs are extended to not only have some balance of Bitcoin, but to have some balance of any number of different runes and any amount of those different runes. So now a Bitcoin, an output, can have one Bitcoin and 100 of the Foo rune and 1,000 of the Bar rune. So each output of a transaction can now store both Bitcoin and runes.
So let's say you have however many, you have your pile of runes,
yep,
of all different kinds.
Yep.
They're assigned to your UTXO.
They're assigned to one or more UTXOs. So you could keep them all in one UTXO, or you could keep them in dozens of different UTXOs.
And then when that UTXO is destroyed, they transfer to the new UTXO.
That's right. So by default, a transaction can have any number of inputs. Those inputs can contain any number of runes. And when a transaction spends inputs, all of the runes on all of the inputs are assigned to the first output of the transaction.
Can you explain how that's different than ordinals and inscriptions?
Yes. So with ordinals and inscriptions, they're both based on, you know, ordinal theory, and they're different because each UTXO has a bunch of has, it's as if the sats in that UTXO are stacked together.
Yeah.
And they sort of move across the transaction. And so not just the order of UTXOs matter, the order of UTXOs matters, but also the order of the sats within the UTXO matters. Whereas runes is not based on inscriptions, not based on ordinals. And so the order of the input UTXOs doesn't matter at all. And the order of sats doesn't matter because it doesn't involve ordinal theory. And the order of the outputs matters to the extent that by default, all runes go to the first output. And then additionally, you can add a protocol message to a transaction that can do a non-default assignment. Like, let's say you want them to all wind up on the second output. You can do that with a protocol message, which is called a runestone.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, so if you have, let's say you have 100 of whatever rune.
Foo rune
in your UTXO,
mm-hmm,
you want to send 75 to mm-hmm yourself and 25 to me.
Mm-hmm.
How do you specify that?
Right. So this gets us to the next point, which is that it is an op-return-based protocol. So an op-return is a way of creating a Bitcoin output, usually with zero value in Bitcoin, that all it does is it contains data. It's just a data-carrying output. It can never be spent. It's immediately forgotten by Bitcoin nodes once it's created. But it can embed a small amount of data. By default, by Bitcoin's current policy, it's up to 80 bytes of data. So a transaction that moves runes, that has runes on the input, can optionally include some data in one op return. And that op return is termed a runestone. So a runestone is, how do I put this? A runestone is a additional bit of instructions that can change the way that the runes move from the inputs to the outputs. So let's say that you have 100 of the Foo rune and you're trying to give me 25 and you want to keep the remaining 75 for yourself. The way that you would do this is you would create a transaction. One of the outputs is an op return. Let's say the first output. The second output is an output with your address. The third output is the output with my address. So we've got op return, you, me. And then in the op return, so by default, if there was no op return, or if the op return was empty, let's say, all of the runes would go to the first non-op return output, which is yours. So the way you transfer 25 to me is in that op return, you say, I want 25 of the Foo rune to go to the third output, which is my output. And then my output would get 25. And the 75 where the destination was unspecified would go according to the default rules, which would be the first non-op return output, which is your output. So then you have an output that has 75 of the Foo rune. I have an output that has 25 of the Foo rune.
So it's sort of like each UTXO is like a wallet, like, or like a pouch that you could put stuff into.
Yep.
And
like a kangaroo.
Yes, right, like a marsupial. What, like, is it called?
Marsupial.
But no, but the pouch has a special name. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay, comments.
Yeah.
Chat.
Chat.
So like each UTXO is a marsupial pouch.
That's
or
right.
A wallet or whatever you like put your money in.
Yep. Yep.
And you can transfer both Bitcoin as well as runes from one UTXO to another.
Mm-hmm.
And by contrast, ordinals and inscriptions, it's more like the specific dollar with the specific serial number.
Yeah.
That if you don't put that specific dollar with the specific serial number into the new wallet, into mm-hmm. the new UTXO, like, it's gone somewhere else.
Well, yeah, it like...
I'm trying to think of runes are kind of just like, you know, they're just stones or like tokens or whatever within the pouch that
yep.
can kind of move independently of the special serialized dollars that would be an ordinal with an inscription on it, for example.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fair. Yep.
That's
so
all I had to say.
just
trying to make some sort of physical. You know, we used to do Craft Store Bitcoin.
Oh yeah, I remember
that. That would be.
Those are great episodes.
Those
if you want to go
episodes.
Back, we did Craft Store Bitcoins and UTXOs. I think we did Craft Store Mining and also Craft Store Lightning Network.
I feel like the Craft Store Bitcoin, whichever one we did UTXOs, would actually be very useful for people
it's
have
super
the
useful
for this.
Basic educational material. And it's very tactile. You can see the UTXOs.
I think
like
that's why
around.
I'm thinking, because I'm thinking back to my yeah. Craft Store Bitcoin lesson.
Yeah. I think the way that you would represent it is that you would have a UTXO, which is like, you know, a big flat thing. And then you'd have different pouches on it for each rune. And then when you did a transaction, you would like open those pouches up and you could decide how to allocate those runes to new pouches on the new UTXOs.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that's actually almost a full description of the protocol. These rune stones can also create new runes, like not create more units of an existing rune, although it can do that too, but create like new runes entirely. But the last thing that I will say is that the protocol is very simple. The format of data in the runestone is just a series of integers that is kind of parsed, and it contains those directives called edicts that control where the input runes go to the output. And so, yeah, so then we get to the two other functions of runestones. One is to like allocate runes from the inputs to the outputs. The other is to create new runes. And these basically say, I want to create a new rune, and it has this name, which is a string of characters, the letters A through Z, all uppercase, and also a currency symbol, which is just a symbol like a dollar sign or whatever that you want to use, or an emoji for units, so that appears after the units. So
for the currency symbol, you can use Unicode, emoji.
Any single character.
Any single character.
Yep.
So you could use like A?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep.
And it's separated from the name itself?
Yeah, that's separate from the name. And it appears after amounts of that rune. So let's say you chose the flame emoji for your rune on the website, ordinals.com, or Ord if you ran it yourself. You would see 100 space and then the flame emoji.
Right.
So that each one has like a cute little character.
I love that.
Yep.
I'm obsessed with that.
Yep. So yeah, so you create the rune. The names of runes are unique. So you can't create a rune that somebody else has already created. But there's a restriction, which is that, well, let's talk about when runes are gonna, let's leave that for a second. And then the other thing they can do is that if a rune was created as having an open mint, which means that it has this BRC20 mechanic of like you create it and other people can claim
it. Which it doesn't have to. You
doesn't
right?
have to.
You can
yeah.
make a rune that you allocate totally to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can do that with BRC20 too, right? Or no?
No, I mean the way you do that with BRC20 is you'd create it with like a total limit.
Oh, you
limit.
Make it so that one mint is the
yeah.
whole amount.
And then
you
do
mint
one
it.
Mint transaction and mint it
yeah,
all to
okay,
yourself.
Okay.
Yeah. So what else?
So it is.
Oh yeah. So
yeah.
you can transfer runes. You can create a new rune, or you can claim some of a rune that has an open etching, which is a rune that is sort of mintable by anyone.
Open etching is just open mint.
Yep. It
but
is.
But etch.
Yep.
Cute.
Yep. I might call it just an open mint, and then like creating a rune is always an etching, and claiming a rune is a mint and not an open etching. I think mint is probably like a fine term.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree.
Yep. So that is runes. Runes are going to go live on mainnet at block 840,000, mm-hmm. which is the Bitcoin halving block, and that's happening in April, sometime in April.
Sometime in April. Yep. It moves around all the time. I think it's around 420 right now.
Yeah, we hope it's on 420.
I actually really hope it's on 421 for astrological reasons, but okay. 420 would be fun for the meme of it all.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm happy with, you know.
I'm happy with anything. I'm just happy to be here.
I'm just happy to be here. Is there anything else tech-wise that we should... I'm trying to think if there's anything... I mean... I think probably we will do another runes episode, if I had to guess.
Yeah, like after launch.
Runes Q&A, runes explain. Like, I mean, this is sort of preliminary runes explainer, but I have to imagine that there are details, or I don't know if there are feature, like, are there different features that runes can utilize that would be interesting to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, so there's some, okay, so there's some aspects of runes which are kind of interesting. One is that because rune names are unique, but we kind of don't want the short names to just be insta-minted out. There is a restriction on the length of the rune names that you can etch. So initially, rune names go up to like 28 characters or something, and you can etch any rune which is 13 characters or more. Mm-hmm. So they're all free. And then over the next 4 years...
Until the next halving.
Until the next halving, runes with shorter length slowly become available. So over the course of 4 months, the next shortest length of rune slowly becomes available. So from launch day to 4 months after launch, the 12-character runes slowly become available.
With every block? Or
if it depends on the length. So there's so many 12-character names. Yes, every block there will be new 12-character names available. But then, for example, with the 1-character names... there's only 26 of those available.
Right.
And so those will only become, like, it won't be every block.
It's not every block. Yeah, yeah, okay, so you start with 13 characters and up on the halving.
Mm-hmm.
What is 4 months? What's the marker for 4 months? Like, why that increment?
Oh, it's just because it's 12 characters. You're unlocking 12 different, like, tiers of runes. And four months times 12 is until the next halving.
Oh, okay. So it's the distance between the halving divided by 12 characters that need to be unlocked.
Exactly.
And that ends up being about
and it's
4 months.
Not actually 12 months. It's actually, or four, it's not actually 4 months. It's the number of blocks in a halving divided by 12, which is around 4 months.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. So every 12th of a halving cycle, or approximately 4 months,
mm-hmm.
over that period of 4 months, each block or each smaller increment
mm-hmm.
within that section gets unlocked on that increment.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And
so like for the first part, it's going to be more unlocked. But then once, as you said, you get down to like just one letter runes.
Yeah. Over the last 26 months of the next halving.
Wow. Okay. Epoch. So you can calculate out when Pepe will be available.
Yep, absolutely.
Damn. Yep. That's a really interesting dynamic, because if you think about how much people want to pre-hype their rune name or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, like let's say you want to name your rune like Hell Money,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you realize that on whatever date Hell Money will unlock, or at whatever block height Hell Money will unlock, you kind of don't want to like over promote it.
No,
ahead
you don't
want to
promote
right?
it at all. You want to try like to get your name secret. And then promote it. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I actually spent a lot of time on this part of the like the schedule. I went through a lot of different permutations, from like you had to burn Bitcoin to get shorter names, a bunch of different unlock schedules. I had an insane like 110 year unlock schedule, which was like the comedy.
Oh yeah, I remember this.
Yeah, the comedy option where you could at first you could only register 28 character runes. Like it was retarded. But yeah, so now this, I actually think this is really good, and it has a few properties that are nice. Short names become available later. So presumably when the market is well developed and people can bid with fees to get these very short names, there aren't blocks that have huge quantities of runes being unlocked. It's not like the first block, all the 12 character runes are unlocked. It's
right.
They become slowly available. And so for example, for one character rune names, I mean like 26, 4 divided by 20, or like 26 is about the number of days in a month. So about every 4 days, a new one character rune will unlock. And so everybody kind of gets a chance to try to like bid on that rune with fees. So you don't have these big like rushes. You know, imagine if all 3 character, all 4 character names were unlocked in a single block.
Right.
That'd be this mad rush. The rate is slower. Like you get big chunks of 12 character runes being unlocked, but like who cares about those? And then smaller amounts of the more valuable runes being unlocked at a time. I think the amount of time is the only thing that could be tweaked. Like maybe you'd want to do it over 2 halvings.
I think it's fun to do it over just one halving.
I think it's fun halving to halving. And yeah, like we really don't care about like who gets the runes. The only thing that I'm really trying to avoid, there are a few things that I'm trying to avoid. One is I'm trying to avoid good runes being allocated with stupid parameters. Like people make the, you know, mint limit or the symbol just stupid for all one character runes. So presumably if they come out slowly and people can think about it and they have to bid with fees, then they're going to think about what they're doing with the rune. The other thing that I want to avoid is the runes being lost. Like somebody minting them and then just like they mint it all to themselves, but they didn't really pay much. They didn't have to think about it. And so those runes are just frozen. Those runes are just like unobtainable. But like the allocation, like who gets what, like I don't really care. And there's a nice theorem in economics, which is called the Coase's theorem, which basically states that whatever the initial allocation of goods is, if transaction costs are low, then those goods will reach their optimal allocation. So you can think about it like, let's say you had a farmer, a blacksmith, a glassblower, a woodworker, and a, what's another like tradesman?
Why was I going to say bar wench?
Okay, and a bar wench. Okay. So you have
service economy.
Bar wench, blacksmith, woodworker, farmer.
I don't know what you said.
Yeah.
Shepherd.
Shepherd, sure. And then you randomly allocate them a flock of sheep, a blacksmith's forge, a bar, farmland, and a woodworking workshop or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the initial allocation is really like unproductive, right? Everybody has something that doesn't line up with their occupation. What's going to happen? They're going to trade amongst themselves until the blacksmith is in the forge, the bar wench is in the bar, the shepherd has the sheep, the farmer's on the farmland, and the woodworker has the woodworking wood shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even if there's an inefficient allocation, eventually you'll get to an efficient allocation.
Yeah.
And so this is a great theorem because it lets you hand wave away anything involving like unfair allocations. Mm-hmm. You're like, whatever, it's going to be fine. And it's largely true with caveats. Like if transaction costs are very high, i.e. the cost of transferring the bar to the bar wench or the blacksmith, the forge to the blacksmith, if that's high, then maybe things won't reach their allocation, right? Let's say that there's huge amounts of sales tax or something, then you won't get a good allocation. But in the case of runes, yeah, it's easy to just trade these things around. They're going to reach their most optimal use.
Right.
So we just care about them not getting minted with stupid parameters and, you know, eventually the allocation will be reasonable.
Yeah, I think it's nice. I mean, I know that the unique names thing was somewhat controversial, but I think with unique names, it's nice to have the unlocking over time because, yeah, I mean, if the Pepe rune is lost, you know, a couple years from now to mm-hmm. just like someone minting it in a stupid way, that'll be really sad, but at least like all of those losses won't just hit us all at once,
yep.
You know?
Yep, yep.
And I agree. I think if people have time to think about it and the market has a little bit more time to mature, then that makes it so that that's less likely as time goes on.
That's right.
Because it's such a fumble, such an opportunity lost, yep. You know?
And to go to the unique names, the controversy around that, there's a lot of controversy around unique names. People were like, oh, like what if Tether can't get the Tether rune? Then they won't want
to
watch
it. Sucks to suck.
Sucks to suck, yeah. Lots of other stuff. I think that since this is for degeneracy, unique names give it that collectability and degeneracy.
Mm-hmm.
There are a bunch of things that were added to sort of ameliorate the problems with unique names. So one is that if you don't care about the name. You just want to treat it as an implementation detail. You don't want to like participate in this, you know, trying to get like a unique name. You can say when you create a rune, hey, I don't care about the name. Just give me a rune from this reserved runes range, which is like 28 A's to 28 Z's. And you'll just get the next one in that range. So that means that if Tether wants to have a rune and they don't care about the name, they can just say, hey, just give me a rune from whatever, you know, range is available, and I'll just call it Tether on exchanges, right? And you can just treat the name as an implementation detail. The other thing is that a very clever developer who shall go unnamed figured out how to do front-running protection. So front-running was a problem on BRC20, whereas if you created a BRC20 token, people could see that transaction in the mempool, create a new transaction, creating the same BRC20 with the same name, and pay more fees than that transaction to get it accepted sooner, and you wouldn't be able to create your name. So runes uses this commit reveal scheme where you commit to the name in a transaction and then reveal the name later when you actually create the rune, and this prevents front running.
Okay, interesting.
Yep.
Hmm.
And then the slow unlocking of names, that prevents the problem where you get all one letter names like minted out in the first block.
Right. Yeah, I've learned so much about runes. I'm like, okay, I think this works.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's simple though. It's very simple.
Yeah.
In ways it's like simpler than ordinals.
Yeah, I think so. The code is simpler too.
It's not as like I feel like with ordinals it's hard to explain without really getting into the weeds, but this feels pretty intuitive.
Yeah, I think that...
Why hasn't anyone made it before?
Dude, I don't know, man. People just, they build their crazy, like, ivory towers. They do all this weird-ass shit.
Tower of Babels.
I don't get it. I mean, like, I think that simplicity is an extreme virtue in engineering, right?
Yeah.
If you want to... Like, it's been a theme over and over again. The best engineers that I know, the absolute best engineers that I know, like, what sets them apart? And it's simplicity and practicality. And I guess it's very hard to see the simple solution. That's why good engineers are like sort of few and far between, but it's the most important thing, you know? I've had times where I thought like, oh, I want to do this thing. And I only thought of a very, very complicated way to do it. And it was a lot of work and it was very fragile. And then somebody came along or I thought about it upon some reflection and was like, oh, yeah, that's totally pointless. Like, there's a way, way, way simpler way of doing this that just makes everything better. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, especially the fungible tokens on Bitcoin that have existed before, like not like BRC20. BRC20 is very simple, but like Counterparty and OmniLayer, they're so complicated, and they don't take advantage of what's already in Bitcoin, so they have to really reinvent many, many wheels. Runes, like, for example, like when you just talked about runes, I didn't have to say anything about Bitcoin script or private keys or anything like that, because that's all delegated to Bitcoin. Like, Bitcoin decides when and how UTXOs can be spent, and runes just gets transactions from Bitcoin where Bitcoin says, this transaction was valid, these UTXOs are being spent, these UTXOs are being created. Runes says, great, and it doesn't have to look at any private keys, doesn't have to understand Bitcoin script at all.
So runes essentially has the same security framework as Bitcoin.
Absolutely. Yep.
Oh, the shillers are going to use that so hardcore. You know what I mean?
As well they should. You know, it's prime. Bitcoin is hyped, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. I don't get it, man. Like, and also like, God, like everything is so complicated that people make. And also, I mean, I think another problem is that you can't sit down and decide exactly what you want ahead of time. If you do that and then you try to make it work, it might turn out that it's really hard to do what you want. The process of deciding what to do and how to do it has to involve some loose set of goals or ideas that you're willing to adapt, change, or discard that are explored in parallel with what technology can do, so that, you know, you're like, oh, I want to do X, but then you're like, yeah, that's going to be really hard, or it's going to introduce really undesirable things into the design or the technology. And so you're, okay, I can't do X. Let's think of something else that does work with the technology, until eventually you get something which maybe it doesn't perfectly embody your original ideas, but can be done and can be done very simply and will work very well. So I think that this is the key to both engineering and, strangely, to algorithmic and computer-generated art. That if you decide ahead of time exactly what your algorithmic art should look like, the implementation might turn out to be very complicated, right, and you can never get it done. If you trace your hands over the contours of the machine as you're coming up with your ideas and understand what the machine can do, you'll produce a design that is both aesthetic and simple and can be created.
That was beautiful.
Thank
I was going to make a really trashy joke.
But Let's
I'm
hear
gonna
it.
Not say no.
Just a little run your hands over the dick of the machine.
Yeah, it was like it was something about like run your hands over the body of the machine.
Uh-huh,
like whatever
yeah.
You're saying that yeah. as you're coming.
That's Once
what you were saying. You said like coming da 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 da, and I was just gonna like period.
I've really now you're adopting my like potty humor.
I know.
Yeah,
it's like you are who you spend time around with.
It's true.
It's an unfortunate fact.
So one other thing about the tech of runes is that runes is compatible with SPV wallets. So SPV stands for Simple Payment Verification, and it's the technology that Light Bitcoin wallets use to prove in an untrusted way that they have received funds. So without having to download a whole bunch of the blockchain.
Oh.
So when you have a wallet on Bitcoin that like starts up instantly and knows how much Bitcoin it has, but it's not a custodial wallet, that is possible because of SPV technology.
How does that work?
So with a Bitcoin wallet, what does having one Bitcoin mean? It means that you have a UTXO with an address that you control that is worth one Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
So there are privacy trade-offs with SPV wallets, but what an SPV wallet is, it does is it says, hey, some server that somebody else controls, first off, it just downloads the headers. The headers are 80 bytes per block, so it's like a few megabytes. It's nothing. You can download it instantly. And then says, hey, find server, you know, this is my address. If there are UTXOs, unspent UTXOs, that have coins at this address, give me a inclusion proof that this transaction was included in the main chain that I know about. And that inclusion proof is very compact. It's essentially just a block height, like this block, and a series of hashes, which are only 32 bytes each, that gets down to that transaction. And then you can prove that block included that transaction, and you know that you've gotten paid without downloading the whole blockchain.
Interesting.
Yep.
How did I not even know about this before? Like, what wallets use that?
Oh, like
everyone.
Every single mobile wallet that isn't trusted.
Okay,
so, like,
cool.
You know, Blue Wallet, Green Wallet, I mean,
are you just making that a blue
wallet? No, no, no.
I mean, I know blue
wallets. All the color wallets, Bread Wallet, all of those wallets, they use SPV proofs to prove that they've gotten paid.
Oh, cool.
Electrum, if you're running in light client, light wallet mode, and you're querying somebody else's server.
That's nice. Very simple.
Super simple, yeah. And so runes.
So runes.
Runes supports that. Yeah, it's more complicated because you need to download more of the blockchain, but it should be pretty tractable.
Well, that's, you know, runes wallet builders, you know.
Yep.
Interesting alpha.
Yep. I think there's an interesting point here, which is that, you know, you have to do say that just because something is possible, it doesn't mean that it'll get done. So, like, for example, SPV state proofs are nominally possible in Ethereum. They've been talking about them since the launch of Ethereum. Nobody has ever written an SPV wallet for Ethereum. Never. Not once. Not fucking once. So you always have to take these claims, even if they are technically possible, with some skepticism.
Right.
It could be a long time or it could be never before the first SPV runes wallet is built.
We'll get on that.
Yep. But it can be, it is possible.
Cool.
Yep.
Is there anything else we should talk about with runes? I mean, I have some alpha I want to talk about, but besides the alpha,
I think that's it.
That's,
I mean,
like the basics. This is runes explainer.
We have the ten runes.
This is what I'm saying. This
yeah,
is the alpha I want to drop here.
Drop it. Alpha drop. Aaron, what's the alpha?
Okay, so there's been a lot of speculation. God damn it. This could be like spliced up in like so many
ways to portray
any narrative, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of speculation about first rune, like who's going to be the first rune,
yep.
You know?
And runes, like inscriptions, have numbers.
Yeah.
Rune 0, rune 1, rune 2, according to the order that they're created.
Right. So as it stands right now, the first rune of the halving block will be rune 0.
Mm-hmm.
And then rune 1, rune 2, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
Which is a free-for-all, right? That's like just you pay fees and you get the rune, which is in some ways nice. Yep. But of course, there's a lot of, you know, there's like a lot of like hype and competition to be that rune 0, of mm-hmm. course.
Yep, absolutely.
So I heard from Raph that you were thinking of a way of getting around that, yep. which I really liked the idea of, but we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah, so the idea is, yeah, it's going to be a free-for-all. People are going to be minting like crazy to get these first runes. Whichever rune is first is probably going to accrue a lot of capital because it's going to be a shelling point.
Yeah.
Like a shelling point is like an arbitrary coordination point. Like let's say you and me are in separate rooms and you know, somebody tells us, okay, I'm going to show you a grid of 10 by 10 squares and Aaron is being shown an identical grid of 10 by 10 squares. And if you pick the same square, you live. And if you pick different squares, you both die. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like an impossible thing. Like, how do I know? Right. And then they show us the piece of paper and there's 99 blue squares and one red square. Well, what are you going to do? You're going to pick the red square because you know that the other person is also likely to pick the red square. If you're looking for like an obvious square to pick. So a shelling point is an arbitrary coordination point where there isn't any particular reason that you're picking it aside from, you know, a bunch of other people are going to pick that thing.
Yeah.
So the first runes are obviously going to be some kind of shelling point. Everybody wants to get their rune bag. Like, okay, which rune should they mint? Rune 0 is an obvious choice. So I would sort of like to avoid the scenario where like some VCs get a whole bunch of like all bid crazy amounts to be the first rune in that block. And runes can be pre-mined. So you can have a rune where you allocate like a billion tokens and have an open mint where people can mint like more of those tokens with the result that you get some pre-mine. And so I don't want the first 10 runes to be like VC
right,
pre-mine
like what
runes.
Would suck is if rune 0 is yeah. some VCs or whoever, you know, yeah. it doesn't have to be a VC, it could just yep. be a person that they create rune 0, they spend a lot of money creating rune 0
yep.
and then they allocate the entire supply to themselves
yep.
or whoever
yep.
and then it's not ideal.
It's not ideal. So to counteract that, I forget who proposed this. I think it was somebody on GitHub. They were like, why don't you just hard code the first rune into the protocol? Like some cool name, some cool symbol.
Because that's actually what's the most important to you, I think, is that it has a cool name.
Honestly, it is. Yeah. yeah. I mean, just like people are so bad at naming things. Like they're going to name the first rune like Rune Coin.
I think you're just especially good at naming things.
I think it's both things. I'm especially good and other
and
people are especially bad.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. So the delta is very high.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I want to, I'm like, this actually, I don't like this in a certain way because it's inelegant, like, okay, I'm just hard coding this random shit into the protocol, but realistically, it does solve a lot of these problems. So I think it's a good idea. I'm leaning towards doing it. And if I did it, I would probably do the first 10 runes. So runes 0 through 9, all the single number runes, single digit runes. And I would pick different names with different themes and different symbols, different divisibility. So divisibility is like how many are in a unit. I'd have at least one where it was chunky, meaning that it didn't have any divisibility. And then probably one where you can only mint like a chunky rune where you can only mint one per transaction. So there's like a very small amount and they're super high price. And if you could trade them in these big lots of a single one. And yeah, just kind of like basically at that block height, these 10 runes would just come into existence
yeah.
With no corresponding transaction. It would be as if they were sort of created in the Coinbase output of that transaction, as if they had been created in that transaction. And yeah, that is the idea. And I think I'm going to do it. And it means that like the narrative of like the first rune, like that kind of goes away. You know, and you just get 10 cool runes that everybody can degen on, and they would not be pre-mined at all. I wouldn't get any particular allocation of those runes. Maybe I'd degen and mint them myself, but I'd be paying transaction fees like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I love this idea, and I definitely think you should do it. Like, I think that there's been, I mean, you're already seeing it, right? You're already seeing people claiming that they're going to be the first rune
yep.
That are, frankly, like, I think it's kind of just a waste of capital, honestly, this fight, you know, like if there's really just going to be like, we're still so far out. It's like not until April that this even launches. And there's already people in January that are trying to say that they'll be the first rune, assuming that there are several, you know, groups that are trying to do that. It's just so much money is going to be spent on fees for that first block trying to get it. And it's like, wouldn't that just be better spent minting the first runes?
Yeah,
you know, like I think that's a much better start for the ecosystem. But it's interesting, like, I mean, not to now like seed ideas for people, but couldn't, like, if people don't like that idea and you go with it, couldn't they like fork runes and be like, fuck it?
Yeah,
no,
they could always fork runes. Yeah, they can get fucked. It won't work.
Yeah. Like, I think it's
like
it's
when you fork something, the amount of devs on that project immediately drops to zero, right?
Yeah. But that's what I think is interesting is like, if it's truly not a good idea to have the first 10 runes, meaning runes 0 through 9, so all of the single digit runes, be open mint runes that have no pre-mine allocation.
Yeah.
That each feature a different part of the protocol to sort of show what runes can do. Mm-hmm. If that's truly a bad fucking idea, then people can fork it and do whatever else they want to, right? And that will be the successful model. But I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, too. Like, and they can all fight over rune 10. Like, rune 10 will then be the first, you know, anybody can create rune.
Yeah.
Yeah, the hard part of this is that I need to come up with 10 cool names.
But that's what you do best. Like, I think that's also what I like about it, too, is I'm so curious to see what you come up with for the names as well.
Yeah. I have they're going to be strange. One thing,
it's also going to be 13
characters
or
above. Yeah, I'm not going to, like, make these. I'm not going to take, like, short runes with these.
Yeah.
So they would only be runes that people could otherwise create. And, yeah, they're going to be weird names. It's not going to be like rune coin, rune gold.
Should we ask for suggestions?
Yeah, I'm interested in suggestions. I'm interested in suggestions for names, but I'm also interested in suggestions for ideas. So, you know, like a more general idea that, you know, could come with a name but has some other elements too. So, like I said, I'd like one of them to be a low divisibility rune. So, there's no fractional units of the rune and you can only mint one per transaction. I think that's a cool idea. Then they become like these, you know, big gold coins or like,
right. They're actually like physical, tangible.
Yeah. Me and Raf call these chunky runes. Right. Kudos to Raf for.
Yeah. Raf's working day and night on the chunkiness factor theorem.
Yep.
So,
so like a chunky rune, probably the first rune will either be a chunky rune. Then also probably there'll be a quote unquote normal rune, which is, you know, maybe has, you know, a billion divisibility, so high divisibility, so you can use very small fractions of it, has a cool name, is sort of more like a currency rune. I don't know what, like, so ideas for themes are very useful.
Yeah, give us idea. I think that's what's fun is, like, if people know ahead of time, this is what, it's not going to launch on the block what the names are. Are you going to say it ahead of time?
Yeah, because it'll have to be baked into the protocol ahead of time.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So people can figure out ahead of time what the names are and what the like different qualities of each rune are.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Give ideas. I think it's such a fun, like, yeah, it just, because I was thinking, I was like, oh, dude, like, what I don't want is I don't want a fucking reorg of the halving block because of the epic sat combined with rune zero. Like, it's just it's a bit much. You know
it's
what I mean?
A bit
like,
much. Yeah, exactly.
The
Ordinals
guy needs to chill.
Yeah,
right? At some point that I don't think that's actually good for Bitcoin. You know what I mean? Like, to just have so much degeneracy targeted at one block like that. And and I don't think it's good for, as I said before, I think the people that would be allocating that much capital to trying to get rune zero should just reallocate that to something else that's going
to
be more
to
worthwhile.
Minting some existing rune and then pumping their bags.
Exactly. Like, you know, like mint the rune that you like, or you know, work on whatever thing you want to work on. Like, I just, it's a waste of money, I think. I mean, whatever, the miners would disagree, but like, I think it's just a waste of money to just really go fucking crazy driving up those free fees to try to get rune zero.
Absolutely.
And you're going to name it better than anyone. Like, you know,
I
it would be
so
sad if rune zero had a bad name.
Yeah, it would. It would be a tragedy.
So
I was thinking maybe like a communist rune with a hammer and sickle for the character?
What would it be? Wait, C-O-M-M-U-N-I.
No, it wouldn't be called communist. It'd be called like Marx coin or like.
Right, but you have to, it's like 13 letters.
Yeah, it's 13 letters, yeah. Oh, the names have spacers in them that are not.
They're not letters. Or yeah, they don't count towards the letters.
They don't count towards the letters. You can't have two runes with the same name but different spacers. But yeah. They're a middle dot.
Right.
Yep. So.
And if you look at Signet, is it signet.ordinals.com? Can you go to that?
Like yeah, you can go to signet.ordinals.com.
You can see what
runes.
We mean in the Signet runes.
Yep. Yep.
That some people thought were actual real runes.
Yeah. So yeah. So you can break up the. You can break up the names into multiple words that are mm-hmm. More human legible. So maybe like a communist rune, maybe like an anarchist rune, maybe like a gay rune. What else?
Cosplay rune.
Yeah, but what kind of cosplay? Like a furry rune?
Yeah, furry rune.
Yeah, Hunter's gonna love that.
I want a furry rune.
Maybe
I want like something related to Pepe's or frogs.
Oh,
or,
yeah, sure. Yeah,
you know?
Pepe rune. Yeah, I need to write these down.
Yeah.
So we have Pepe. Pepe, communism.
Something astrological.
I think like a cyberpunk rune.
Yeah.
Like a cyberpunk sci-fi rune.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like a galactic credits rune.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the tokens of the Galactic Federation.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe, oh, what else did we have? We had like a furry rune.
Yeah, furry rune.
Furry rune is good.
I think like furry rune and gay rune could be just sort of like an LGBTQ. Oh, you could just go LGBTQIA. Blah,
no,
blah, blah, blah.
No, yeah, 12 characters.
Just add like as many until you get to 13 characters.
Yeah. Oh,
wait, that's
God.
Actually, I like that idea.
I don't know if I want to tread into identity politics.
You already are.
What else? I think that's probably a good way to approach it. Like I sort of want like a fantasy rune, like a D&D fantasy rune.
Mm-hmm. Maybe something having to do with Viking lore, just with the runes, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Not that I would know what to do with that, but...
Yeah.
Suggestions are open. I mean, we're literally brainstorming on the fly. I just found out Casey wanted to do this last night when I was talking to Raph,
yeah.
And I was like... I literally asked him, I said, do you think he would feel comfortable talking about this on the podcast? And he said, I don't know, just ask him. But I think that's some nice alpha.
I think probably thinking about it in terms of themes is a good idea. Because like mm-hmm. you come up with a name like, whatever. But if you're like, I want to have a furry rune and then we can debate names for the furry rune, then that's easy.
I feel like it's somewhat dependent on the qualities of the rune, right? Like the chunky rune, like mm-hmm. you need a name that, you know, kind of matches the chunkiness.
Yeah, that I'm thinking might be the sort of fantasy rune, you know?
Yeah, because that you want, like, doubloons, essentially, like,
yeah,
to trade
yeah.
around, that kind of shit.
Yeah, I like, there'll probably be an odd rune.
Odd?
Yeah, like, odd, like, as a theme. Like, oh, that's odd.
Mm. Yeah, what should the furry rune should be, like, the most efficient, like, high efficient, like, maximum divisible. Like, it should be the superior
the superior rune is the furry
superior
rune.
Should be the furry.
Oh yeah, one of them can be like insane divisibility, maximum supply.
Yeah.
So the supply is like, you know, 12, and it has like 28 digits of divisibility.
That could be
or
the
something.
Communism rune.
Yeah, that's
right.
Yeah. You get a very small piece.
Yeah,
of
yeah,
a
yeah.
Very
of the pie that we've got.
A small piece of a small pie.
Yeah, yeah. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
I think these are all great ideas. Okay, so that's our alpha. We are literally asking for feedback.
Send us your ideas. They can be totally insane.
Last point, let's talk about the Patreon hell money situation.
We just want to thank everybody who's signed up to the Patreon. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. Like, I think we're just super lucky that we're in an ecosystem where, you know, everybody is cool with donations. Like, lots of donations flow around the Ordinals and Bitcoin ecosystems. And I think that we're beneficiaries of that, because when we put up a Patreon link, everybody's like, oh, cool, I do want to support these people with money.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, like, I mean, we were very adamant in our last episode that we're not doing anything for Patreon. And I would definitely maintain, like, don't sign up with the expectation that you're going to get some specific thing out of it. But previously, we had no way for people to financially support. And we're now at a point where we literally just can pay our editor.
Yeah, it's sweet. We can
upgrade our stuff.
We can pay our editor. We can upgrade our stuff.
Cosplay
she can get
outfits.
Hoed out every episode. Goddamn episode.
Every episode.
You know, she will, too. She no. fucking will.
My cosplay budget is, like, through the roof now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we have, like, 30 patrons
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You should cut up your outfit after every episode into pieces, one
and
for
send
each patron.
To each patron.
Yeah, and make sure to get your body odor on.
Yeah,
it.
We'll make sure the temperature's really high.
You
in
get
the
in
studio.
A bath. We take a bath. We get all the bath water. Your bath water, and then we have a little jar filled with the bath water and a little piece of the costume floating in it.
We could have that's an interesting idea. We could have a spray bottle with that's the bath water, right. yeah. and we spray the outfit before we
Absolutely.
Cut it up.
No, we just send them the spray bottle. You get a spray bottle of Aaron's bath water.
Okay, now we're really off the rails.
Now we're rolling.
But Patreon subscribers, you will notice that there is a Google form linked in the welcome message.
Indeed.
Which you should fill out.
Indeed, fill that out.
Fill that out. Is that all?
That's it.
I think that's it. Great, yeah. great work. I'm sure we'll talk more about runes in the future. But yep. Yeah, any thoughts or ideas for names or runic qualities are welcome.
Yeah, are welcome. Runes are in good shape. I have a few hard things to do before it's done. One is I've got to actually implement front running. There's a big refactor just in how the metadata and runes works that I've got to do. Gotta add gambling directly to the protocol.
Actually, please, lawyers, come to my DMs.
Yeah, and only
lawyers,
only,
please.
But
flood
I want
my DMs.
I want some of those Craig Wright lawyers that are just going to tell me that it's a great idea that could never backfire. Gambling straight in the protocol, commit reveal, refactor. I think maybe that's around it. So I have a small number of difficult things that I need to do.
But will you stop playing Baldur's Gate enough to finish them by April?
I don't know. It's rough, man.
That's the question.
I'm deep into Baldur's Gate.
You're deep into something, that's
deep
for
into
sure.
Something. Ball's deep into Karlach, man. She's my barbarian mommy.
I love that for you.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
On that note.
That's it then. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. And we will see you next time.
Bye. Mm-hmm.